right, children, Bible time, second grade on down. Second grade on down. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read the first 8 verses. We're going to concentrate on the first 5 verses. I just love verse 8. I get into trouble for verse 8, I'll tell you. I preached that 6 weeks ago. I got more hate mail than I have in a long time. We're just going to read it again, so maybe I can get some more letters in the mailbox. When I say that people in the Old Testament were saved by grace through faith, looking forward to the cross, people look at me like, no. The Old Testament people were saved by works. They were saved by the sacrifices. Now, Hebrews is pretty clear. No sacrifices could ever take away sin. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 is just pretty clear. So I'm going to read that tonight, but we're not going to concentrate on that this evening. We'll hit that next Sunday evening. Verse 1 of chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? It's a question. Who hath bewitched you? Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now, these are Gentile people he's talking to, and we are Gentiles, and we would say, well, of course, we didn't get it by keeping the law. We received salvation by grace, and absolutely, by the hearing of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I had somebody to sit down last week and say to me, show me where in the Bible it says it's not by works. And so I took him. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works. That's pretty clear. And they folded their arms and looked at me and he said, well, what would you say to a Catholic person in the Catholic Bible? You know, the Catholic Bible says the exact same thing. And I looked at him and I said, Catholic Bible says the exact same thing. Not by works. And he looked at me and he said, it does? Yeah, it does. I said, I have one in my office. I keep it just for people like you. It's not by works. It's by faith, by grace. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered? And they did. They suffered a lot in that first century. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, the Bible, that's God's Word, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the what? Gospel to who? Unto Abraham. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That saying is not a financial saying. That saying is a salvation saying. And that's the way it was represented in Genesis chapter 12. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Those that come to Christ for salvation, the faith of Abraham, are going to receive salvation. And that gospel was preached. And somebody said, it was last week, somebody giving me lambasted me because of the Scripture said, well, who preached the gospel to Abraham? And I said, well, a preacher, of course. I don't think you like that answer either. But who do you think preached it? Who do you think preached the gospel to Adam and Eve? God did. Do you think God had a plan before the foundation of the world and then didn't tell Adam and Eve about it? Oh, absolutely he did. And so, but what have they gotten caught up in? They've gotten caught in a bait and switch. A bait and switch. And I'll just say, bait and switch is illegal, just so you know. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'd be encouraged this evening to understand that by grace we are saved through faith. Adam and Eve were saved by grace through faith. that Abraham was saved by grace through faith, and that we are part of a great gift, a gift of God, which is eternal life. May we embrace that. May we not get on a sidetrack. May no one in the room this evening get shunted. May we stay on the main line, keep the main thing the main thing, and understand that the gift of God is eternal life. And it is not by works, never has been, and that we live the Christian life by grace, by God's power. May we embrace that truth this evening, not get shunted, not get sidelined, not get sidetracked. Help us to stay focused, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Bait and switch is a sales tactic. Customer is attracted by the advertisement of a low-priced item. When you get to the store, you find out they don't have any. But they happen to have a higher-priced item that you can buy since you're there. It is illegal. Now, some time ago, Caitlin was looking for a car. She called a car dealership and talked to the lady on the phone, and the lady said, yes, that car is absolutely available. Set an appointment with the sales lady to come see the car the next morning. Was there when the thing first opened up, because it was a great deal. And I got there, and when the place opened up, she walked in, and she said, I'm here to see so-and-so. And so-and-so is artificial intelligence. She was talking to a computer on the phone and could not tell. The computer was trying to sell her a car that did not exist. It is absolutely fraudulent and illegal. But it is done. It is done regularly. It is considered to be a type of fraud, a fraudulent activity when those goods are not available. And so what we have in Galatians chapter 3, what the churches of Galatia had fallen prey to was a bait and switch. Come for salvation, but, salvation's not available unless you do this. And they had added the law to it. They had added works to it. And it's just not the same. It is not the same. It is fraud. Absolutely consumer fraud. In the first verse, Paul is he's hostile. This is not a friendly letter. Foolish and bewitched are two pretty strong words. Principle of first mention, I'll say bewitched is the only mention of the word in the whole scripture. There is none other. It is right here. First mention, second mention. Bewitched means to bring evil on one by feigned praise or the evil eye, to lead one astray by evil arts. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath by feigned praise led you astray by an evil eye or evil arch, led you in a different direction? Who has gotten you off track? Who has caused you to wander in the false doctrine? Bewitched, almost like they're under some type of a spell. The Galatians had lost their grasp, their grip on God's word, which always causes me to say, who are you listening to? If I were Paul and I were here and I was this, I would say, who are you listening to? Who did you get this from? Because you did not get that from this book. They knew the truth of the gospel, but they had allowed a different voice going in a different direction. The term is shunting. They had been shunted. They had been pushed off on a sidetrack, and they are no longer on the main line. It's a dangerous, dangerous path on which to go. In disobedience, they had turned from the truth. So Paul asked several questions. Who hath bewitched you? How did you receive your salvation? Verse 2. Are you foolish that you have begun in the Spirit, but now you think you're going to... the Bible version issue is another thing. The folks that are putting out the new versions of the Bible do not believe that truth exists. They believe that truth must come from the mind of man. that man has to decide what is the Word of God. I'm just here to tell you, you don't have to decide. God wrote it down. It's been preserved. Doctrine of preservation is a big thing. You can absolutely trust God. So, in verse 1, they were disobedient, they were foolish, they were bewitched, and that by false teachers. And dangerous. Dangerous and disastrous. It was July 10th, 2018, in Casey, South Carolina. An Amtrak passenger train was hurtling in the early morning darkness, and everything seemed okay. The track was smooth. The air was clear. It was a beautiful day. They had left on time. They were due for an on-time arrival at their destination. But there was a serious problem. Someone had switched tracks. And unbeknownst to them, as they traveled along, the train, instead of being on the main line, took just a little detour. The problem is they were on a sidetrack. The problem is on the sidetrack was a parked train. That parked train was carrying all kinds of produce and commerce and lumber, and they hit head on. The Silver Star at 2:45 a.m., traveling at 59 miles an hour, struck a parked CSX train loaded with all kinds of merchandise. But the parked train wasn't moving. In the end, the engineer, Michael Kemp, 54 years of age, lost his life. The conductor, Michael Sella, 36 years of age, lost his life because somebody switched them to another track. When you get switched to another gospel track, when you get shunted, when you get sidetracked, when you start the question, can it really be by grace through faith? Yet every week somebody will ask me the question, well, Pastor, what about this verse? And Pastor, what about that verse? And what about this verse over here? And this week was no different. I was making some visits, and a lady who was not, she was caring for the person that I was visiting, asked me the question, well, what about this person? What about that person? I hear you say this, but what about that? And instead of visiting the person I was supposed to visit, I just turned to her and I said this. I said, I'm a pretty simple guy. I've got some education, but I try not to let my education take control of my Bible belief. And when it comes to the Bible, I'm just very simplistic. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, and I stopped there and said, that's present tense, have right now, everlasting life. If you can lose it, it's not everlasting. Amen. Over and over again, God uses the words eternal and everlasting to describe salvation. If you can lose it, it's not eternal. And if God gave you something and it wasn't everlasting and eternal life, then it wasn't salvation. Did God give you everlasting life? She looked at me and she said, but what about this verse? And I said, that is a dangerous method of Bible interpretation. And she said, what's that? I said, to take an obscure passage, an obscure verse, and try to force a meaning on a very clear meaning of Scripture. It is either everlasting or it is not. It is either eternal or it is not. It's just pretty simple. To me. But you get on a sidetrack and it loses its simplicity. You think, well, maybe I don't understand this. I'll just read Galatians 1. Let's just read it again. Because Paul's pretty clear to them. They've got sidetracked. They've been shunted. They're not on the main line anymore. And Paul just takes a very basic approach to their foolishness. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth. Who saw Christ? Paul did. The apostles did. And they're sharing that faith with the folks. The people that you're listening to, did they see Christ? Did their word come from God? This only would I learn of you. Tell me, if you will, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And again, these Gentile people would say, by the hearing of faith. And Paul goes right back at them. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now that you've received it by grace through faith, are you going to mix it up so that others can't know the truth? When you get on a sidetrack, this morning we mentioned from Hebrews chapter 12, beware lest any root of bitterness springing up and thereby many be defiled. And when the church or when a family or when your doctrine gets sidetracked, many people are affected. The lady that I talked to this week, somebody got sidetracked and she was absolutely affected. Now, she wasn't mean to me. She wasn't hostile to me. But she was pretty adamant that she did not believe that salvation was by grace through faith. There had to be some kind of work attached. What was it? It's a bait and switch, which is what Paul is dealing with in the entire book of Galatians. And I said to her, you should read the book of Galatians. You're not the first one to fall prey to a bait and switch. You're not the first one to get shunted, to be on a sidetrack. The Galatians were Gentiles. They were not Jewish people. They were saved absolutely by the hearing of faith. Christ was preached. They received a gift by faith. The Holy Spirit indwelled in them. They had those benefits. And we are no different today. But we get caught up in it. Now, if I were to talk to you individually, I think the vast majority of you in the room would say, oh, no, I am saved by grace through faith, not of works. I got that. I am that. But then when it comes to living the Christian life, we try to do it by human reasoning, by our own power and our own might. We don't ask for God for help because we don't need God's help. Somebody said to me this week, how's your back doing? I said, it has reminded me. I think I sent a text back to someone and said, God has a way of slowing you down when you get too busy and too occupied with the things of life to say, hey, it's time to come back to basics. And I'll tell you what, when you can't get up, it gets back to basics. You start saying, I hate to sit down because it's too difficult to get up without arms. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, I need to get up. I need help. And so you pray, oh, God, help me to be able to get out of this chair. And there we go. Thursday morning. What day were we at the hospital? Friday morning. Friday morning, I had to have Mrs. Bishop help me get dressed. Kayla met me at the house because I had a hospital visit. Mr. Pickett-Paul was having surgery, heart surgery. 91 years of age, a preacher should show up. You're having three-way bypass surgery, a valve replaced, and a preacher should show up. I walk out the front door, and I'm going to the ground. And I said to Caitlin, let me go. Just needed to get my bearings again. We got back up off the ground. I got to the car, and we had a hilarious time getting to the hospital. She met me there with a wheelchair. The security guard opened the door for me at the surgery center because he thought I was there for surgery. And then he found out I was a preacher coming to pray for someone, and he wanted to kick me out of the hospital, but he didn't have the heart to do it. I promised him I'd be a good boy. Well, we get upstairs. So here's a 91-year-old having heart surgery. And the preacher that's going to pray for him rolls in a wheelchair. I don't know. I would have wanted me to pray for me. He said, you know, is there any other preacher out there? Just everything becomes, God, I need your help to take this step. But we have come to the point in our life where we don't need God's help take a step because we're just fine until we need God's help. Baptism is an easy thing until it's not an easy thing. I spent more time today praying for the Lord's help to get through the baptism than I think I have for any other baptismal service that I have done. And that's the way we ought to live our life every day. Every step, every moment, every movement, every asking God's help. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. God, I'm going to take a step. I need your help. I'm going to take a drive. I need your guidance. I'm going to answer a phone call. I need your wisdom. But they and we have gotten to the point where we don't need God's help because we can do it all ourselves. By Saturday, I progressed a little bit. I was walking with a cane, and I went to do my hospital visits on Saturday, and people just looked at me like, man, you are in bad shape. So I got up to the heart ward, and there's a 91-year-old after having surgery sitting up in the chair, and he just looked at me, and he said, so tell me what happened to you. You never told me what happened. So I told him, and he looked at me, and he said, you're out of shape. 91-year-old telling me that. And I looked at him and I said, round is a shape. And he laughed, which is probably the absolute worst thing for a heart patient to do because he's trying to hold on to his stitches from breaking open. And the two of us laughed together. I went from there to Arlington Hospital where John Milam is. And I'm up in his room and the physical therapist walks in because he had back surgery and he's going to physical therapy for his back. And she's looking at the two of us and thinking, I got two for one. I got two guys in one room. And John said, no, this is a preacher. And she said, you should be coming with us. You should be coming with us. Every step of the day on Saturday, I needed God's help. But here's the truth of the matter. It's easy to get shunted, sidetracked. The truth of the matter is every day, every step, we need God's help. Nashville, Tennessee, 1918, the train cars were made out of wood. The Nashville, Chattanooga, St. Louis Railroad, NC and STL, the number 4 train was going from Nashville to Memphis. It left the station at 7 a.m. The number 1 train going from Memphis to Nashville left at 7:20 a.m. And there were 10 miles where they single-tracked. And it was the responsibility of the number 4 train to pause before that 10-mile stretch to recognize that the number 1 train went by and then to proceed. Well, they weren't paying attention, and it was kind of cold out. And so the person responsible heard a train go by. It happened to be a construction crane on the rails going in the opposite direction, going to a sidetrack, and he called up to the engineer and said, the number 1 has passed, we're good to proceed. But it wasn't the number 1. It was not verified. And so they continued on their way on the single track, heading at 60 miles an hour. The number 1 train heading in the opposite direction, traveling at 60 miles an hour, and the two of them hit head on. The worst train accident in the history of our nation. 121 dead, 171 injured. Preacher, it's only 10 miles of track. Yep. It's only one doctrine. Yeah. It's only a little verse. We should be able to compromise on this little thing here and let them add some works in if it makes them feel better. It's only 10 miles of track, but 10 miles of track can be deadly if that's not where you're supposed to be. Failing their problem, they were found faulted with failing to properly identify a passing train. And in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is charging them with failing to accurately, properly identify false doctrine. You ought to be able to memorize false doctrine. Every one of you should be able to say, when somebody throws one of those rogue verses at you, I do not participate in dangerous Bible exposition. No, dangerous. It is dangerous. Again, I should make you say it with me. It is a dangerous practice to allow an obscure passage of Scripture to cast doubt on a very clear meaning. Go right back to John 3:16. I talked to a man this week. He was all over the Scripture in all kinds of places, all kinds of things. Say, preacher, what did you do? Man, I took him to John chapter 3. What is in John chapter 3? He that believeth not is condemned already. And he said to me, what does it mean to be condemned? That light, Jesus Christ, is coming to the world, but men, you, sir, love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. You are a condemned man. Well, what about this passage of Scripture? And he'd go on for a while, and I'd go back to him, and I would say, you, sir, are a condemned man. He that believeth not is condemned already. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get me on a sidetrack. People do that when you're soul winning at the door. Don't let them sidetrack you. You stay on the gospel track. And stay your focus, because what do they need? They need Jesus Christ. I was with Dwight Smith several years ago. We were witnessing to Mr. Riddle, Geraldine's husband. He was absolutely unsaved, and he was in the Sunrise nursing home. I had witnessed to him and witnessed him and witnessed to him. And I said, Brother Smith, would you go with me to witness to this guy? He's in Sunrise there by the Springfield Mall. And I have tried a dozen different ways to try to get through to him. And he just shakes his head and he says, good preacher, good little young preacher. I'm not really young, but he was older than I was. You're good. Just I'm okay. But he wasn't okay. He was absolutely lost. Took Brother Smith to see him. And Brother Smith shared with him. And he tried his best to get Brother Smith off the main track. And Brother Smith said from John, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he'd go on a side rail, and Brother Smith would come right back and said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And I don't know, probably 15 times he tried to get Brother Smith sidetracked on a side rail, and every time Brother Smith brought him back to that one Bible truth on the main line. We were walking out the door, and I thought, and he had rejected Christ once again. He said, I'm okay. You two young men, you go on your way. And we got to the door, and Brother Smith all of a sudden stopped, and he jumped and turned around. I'd do it, except I can't. And he said, he that hath the Son, and Mr. Riddle said, hath life. And he said, and he that hath not the Son of God, and Mr. Riddle said, hath not life. And we walked out of the room. The next day I went to see Mr. Riddle, and he said to me, I don't have the Son, I don't have life. I said, that's right. He said, how do I get life? And we led him to Christ. Because somebody, some preacher, Brother Smith, refused to get on a side rail. Don't let the unsaved folks push you on a side. It's called shunting. Don't let them shunt you. Don't let them sidetrack you. Stay on the gospel track. Keep your focus. Keep it simple. It is not complex. When we try to make it complex, people die. 121, 171 injured, 121 people without a gospel witness because somebody was on the wrong track. Somebody. Agree and succeed. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, Paul is alluding to in this verse, in this fifth verse. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read a couple of verses tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start reading at verse 7. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in the 7th verse says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Apostle Paul came to realize that infirmities caused us to pray more. And so he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And what Paul is referencing in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, is the fact that he, the other apostles, did great works. But how did they do that? By God's grace. Look at me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, the second chapter. I'll start reading at verse 1. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip, get sidetracked, get shunted. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" What is that? That is the eyewitness first century testimony of them. Confirmed, and Paul is just asking church of Galatians, these guys that have come to you, did they see Christ? Did they talk to him? Where did they get that from? Because they didn't get that from the Lord, and they didn't get that from us. The equivalent today would be, when the preacher says to you, who did you get that from? Because you didn't get that from this book. It did not come from the Bible. The manifestation spoken of in Hebrews, manifestation Paul spoke of in Corinthians, was of the Spirit, confirmed by them that heard them. The signs and miracles, the manifestations were of the Spirit, not the flesh. And we do know better. The locomotive traveling in a certain determined direction points on the track. And when shunted, sidetracked, with devastating results. The large behemoth that is shunted off to the left or to the right, now on the wrong track. It looks good. It is polished, the track is smooth, that doesn't make it right. It's only right if it's right. There's just no better way to say that. If it's a wrong track, doesn't matter how smooth it is, does not make it right. And again, a terrible scenario when that happens. People are hurt. People end up in the wrong destination. Well, that's the least of your worries. But when you, Christian, and I get shunted, sidetracked, pushed off on a sidetrack, and we can't bring the focus back to the main track of the gospel, as Paul is doing here in this third chapter of Galatians, it's a terrible scenario. Because the person that we're talking to is on the wrong track eternally. It ends in disaster, death, crash. They run to the end of the track, get ahead, find the bridges out, a deep ravine. But a lot of Christians, we listen to intellectual shuntings and end up on the wrong track with devastating consequences, what should we do? Paul is bringing it out in this third chapter of Galatians. You should make sure you stay in tune with the Spirit. God's Spirit is not going to speak contrary to God's Word. If there is a spirit that is speaking contrary to the Word of God, it is not the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that spoke in the garden, that said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said." What should we do? Walk in the Spirit, yield to the Spirit, depend on the Spirit for every step. When you're at that door and somebody is asking you a question, you should pray to the Spirit. Please help me to stay on track. Please help me to know my Scripture. Please help me to not get shunted. They're on the wrong track. I don't want a head-on collision. Help me. There's a consequence. What should we do? We should live a proper, consistent, virtuous, diligent Christian life. How do you do that? In the flesh? Not going to be done in the flesh. Got to be done in the Spirit. You can listen to the voices of Calvinism. And boy, I tell you what, they are out there and they are writing books and they are on the internet and they are prolific. And they sound intelligent. They're smooth trackers, but they're sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Don't end up shunted. And it's not an old thing. May 2nd, 2023, the country is Greece, 350 souls on board, a passenger train, and it changed lines. Just traveling along. Somebody moved the switch, didn't put it back. Somebody was supposed to, and they didn't. They're scooting along. Not even realizing that they're on the wrong track. Now they're on a cargo track. And they collided with a freight train. 38 dead, scores injured. It is said of Greece that they have a weak record on railroad safety. The ruling of the investigating body was that Greece, the country, is not up to 21st century standards when it comes to railroad safety. That should not be said of you and I at Lighthouse Baptist Church, that our belief, our structure, our safety standards, our commitment to the truth. Legalist! You can call me a legalist, but I'm just going to stay on the main line. I'm going to keep my focus on Christ. I'm not going to get shunted, sidetracked. I'm going to stick to the book. I'm going to stick to the gospel message. I am not going to get shunted, and you should not get shunted either, because when you do, there are devastating consequences. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here tonight, you're a Christian. I want a preacher to pray for you this evening. You say, "Preacher, pray for me. God, help me." You're a soul winner. You're a witness. You're going door to door. You're trying to help people, trying to witness to your family. You cannot do that in the flesh. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll be glad to pray for you tonight. You can certainly pray at the altar. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I do not want to get shunted. Help me to stay. Pray for me. God, help me to stay on track, a gospel track of salvation." Father, I thank you for Christians on my left and on my right, in front and the back, up above, and that desire to stay focused. Help them to do it. I know there are a lot of voices out there, especially on the internet. A lot of YouTube videos out there, a lot of slick graphics, a lot of polished glossies. That make it look good, lining of planets and numbers and all kinds of foolishness, just not the gospel, just not in the Bible. Help us to stay on the main line. Help us not to get shunted, moved about by every wind of so-called doctrine. Help us to stay focused on your word. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here without Christ. You've been shunted onto a sidetrack, thinking there is some sidetrack to heaven, sans Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there is no sidetrack to heaven. There is no other way but by grace through faith in Christ. Tonight you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved, and I need to be saved, and God is speaking to my heart. Preacher, would you pray for me?" And I will. Slip your hand up, hold it up for just a moment. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. The altar is open. You want the preacher to pray for you? I'd be delighted. You obey as God speaks.